Recently, NPR's Morning Edition ran a story about the lost generation of workers, stating that a whopping 5.8 million young people are neither going to school nor working. And it's a big deal, they say, because it's a whole cohort of Americans who are at the very beginning of their careers and are pretty much already dispirited. And the youth unemployment rate among 16 to 24-year-olds is more than twice the national employment rate, which currently stands, really as of last Friday, at 5.8%. So instead of talking to an expert about the problem, I've gone to an expert who is finding real-world solutions to the problem, and compelling solutions they are. And whether you're a young person listening to the show or a parent or grandparent, there's some important, perhaps life-changing information we're going to discuss with my next guest. He is Nicholas Wyman. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
So, Nicholas, you're a youth employment expert, CEO of WPC Group Limited, an Australian apprenticeship employment company. So tell us, because in a sense, your story is very much mirrored by the advice and path that you're suggesting in your book, because you are involved as an expert in youth employment and involved with a company, but that really wasn't your initial passion, was it?
Well, I had an interesting upbringing. My father was an academic, and he had some very definite ideas about the career pathway that I should follow. And when I suggested that I didn't want to go to a four-year college or follow a university track, he did everything he possibly could to head off those efforts. And I had a really interesting experience where he arranged work experience for me at a local restaurant, and the food was very uninspiring, and the experience really put me off. And lucky for me that a family friend pulled me aside and said, well, this is the opportunity for people who want to explore culinary arts. So I entered into a four-year apprenticeship that took me all over the world. I was able to represent my country in the International Culinary Olympics and, you know, was able to work in some incredible restaurants.
So you then, after that, you've developed and your life kept evolving, and now you're doing what you're doing right now. So you've got, I think, a very large sense of the picture, and we want to talk about your book. The book is Job U, and U is for university. Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. Now, the book comes out in January, I understand, but it is in pre-order mode as we speak, and as you were telling me before we hit the air, that if you do order it, you will get an advanced chapter and also a list of career resources and where to go if this is where you're at right now and you need something to start off with right away. The book Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. Nicholas, lay this out for us. What is the big picture here?
Well, it's really a situation of, we hear about the skills gap, and as you rightly pointed out, this book is a real how-to for people. So we're not just looking at this problem of people without jobs and jobs without people. Mm-hmm. We're looking specifically at where the jobs are going to be in the 21st century and how people can attain professional certifications, associate's degrees, apprenticeships, and other occupational learning. So it doesn't matter where you are in your career journey. So this book is most definitely for young people, people who may be at college, people who may have had a false start. But it's also for people who are currently employed or people who want to upskill themselves for the changing shape of jobs of the future. And I think that's really important.
Well, you speak about a skills gap. Where does this skills gap come from when you look at traditional education and then this idea of, you know, going to college and even after college? And you've suggested that college isn't the only path, but you're suggesting that there are jobs out there, but there just isn't the skill set amongst workers to fill those jobs. Tell us about that.
Well, it's nearly, there's 9.7 million Americans who are out of work, yet there's 600,000 jobs available in the U.S. manufacturing industries. Last week, I travel the country a lot. I was in Chicago, and I was talking to the IT sector there. They have 30,000 unfilled jobs in that city. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a challenge for employers who are looking to employ people, but people are coming to them with the wrong skills. And so we have to trace that back quite often into the secondary education system, where people are leaving our schools. They have strong academics, but they often are missing the practical workplace skills that employers need.
Well, there is this track in America to finish high school and for most to then move to college. And the track does work for, you know, a good large percentage of people, but it does not work for also another very large percentage of people. And you don't really get those skills. But the fact is that if you are going to college and then you're taking on a large amount of debt in order to finish your college and you don't really come out with skills that will earn you a very good living, it's a true conundrum. So you're suggesting that maybe college isn't for everyone. Can you talk more about that?
Well, to me, it's very much about the right education at the right time. And the message also to people is that you don't have to pick a vocational pathway or a traditional academic or college pathway. There's plenty of opportunities where you can start in an apprenticeship in a vocational pathway. And then as I did, I ended up at Harvard Business School. I earned an MBA at another university, and it was very much for me about the right education at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who know particularly which programs they want to go into in college, they've got a particular industry or an interest they want to follow, four-year college is probably a fantastic destination for that group. But people who sign on to a college program accrue an enormous amount of debt in the hope that they may be offered a job can often lead to disastrous results. So there's a lot of things that people can do, and I think it's really about gathering information about where the jobs are, information about the types of industry that it is that you might want to work in. And somebody asked me the other day about people who are taking a gap year and said, what's my advice? You know, should students take a gap year, not take a gap year? And I said, look, a gap year is often, you know, a really good way to actually find out what it might be like to work in a particular industry. So if you're interested in information technology, really try and secure some work experience in that industry. Mm-hmm. Don't go and work as a barista. If you're interested in running your own business, maybe working as a barista or having some sort of experience in the hospitality and services industry is right for you.
The book is Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. My guest is Nicholas Wyman, and the book is in pre-order right now. You know, I was interested to read that even Google, of course, widely regarded as one of the nation's most desirable employers, a college degree is not necessarily a requirement for employment, because an increasing percentage of Google's new hires have not, in fact, graduated college. What is Google truly looking for?
It's really this combination of strong academics and practical workplace skills. And Google's not alone. There's a lot of corporations now who are forward-thinking, and you know they're realizing that the global marketplace is changing. If you look at the global economy, after 140 years of domination, China is about to take over in the next 12 months as the world's largest economy. And that's really going to change the way that businesses operate, the businesses hire, the way that businesses not only attract, retain, but also develop their employees. So I've been looking into a model with some early college STEM schools, and there's a particularly successful model called PTEC, or Pathways in Technology, and there's about 65 companies now nationwide who are working in IT, advanced manufacturing, healthcare, telco, engineering, and students in these schools are in a 9 through 14 model. So the program's been engineered to include generic workplace skills that people are going to need to be successful in any workplace. So companies like Cisco, Verizon, Microsoft, and Motorola are supporting schools like this in cities like Chicago and all throughout the US. And the growth in that model has been absolutely phenomenal. I think by the end of 2016, there's going to be 100 of these early college STEM schools. So there's new ways that people can progress and make that transition from school to work.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, you mentioned earlier this idea of other paths. For example, occupational certificates or vocational certificates. There's associate degrees that can get you certain jobs. And then I think the most interesting was apprenticeships. And looking at a chart of countries that utilize apprenticeships, really the U.S. is very low on the list, but European countries have, I guess there's a history of apprenticeship use in Europe, but they use it more. So let's start with occupational vocational certificates. What are we talking about? What kind of industries does that serve? And how much does it cost to kind of get the average certificate?
Well, I think you're looking at, you know, where to start professional certifications. Emerging industries, bioscience, aviation, culinary arts and medical technology. And medical technology is a really interesting and growth area. And there's so many different subsets, you know, of that profession. So there's all these sorts of opportunities. And so, you know, I quite often meet people who really use this as a professional certification as a stepping stone, and they might return to other types of study. So as far as the cost, it really is college by college, but my advice to people is shop around. There's all sorts of opportunities we're seeing with occupational learning. There's opportunities for people to reboot their skills through on-the-job training, and there's a lot of online education available as well. So this might appeal to somebody who may be, you know, working full-time but has decided they want to make that leap or change into a new industry. Some of the online learning resources are absolutely wonderful.
My guest is Nicholas Wyman. The book is Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing Skills Companies Actually Need. You mentioned in your book just a few examples here. A digital arts and design certificate at the University of California, Riverside, consists of 150 hours of instruction and fees totaling around $3,990, including books. Also, at a community college in Massachusetts, you can be certified as an animal care specialist through a 30-week program costing around $6,000 in books and fees. So it doesn't have to cost you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in order to find pretty good employment at decent wages. What about associate arts degree? Where can that degree take you?
Well, I think that's a really interesting area as well. And I think that a lot of employers are actually favoring people who have this idea of on and off the job training. So, you know, we're seeing programs available in civil engineering, environmental science, education, and nursing. So for somebody who might, you know, really like working with people, and one really important message here that we haven't touched on is it's really important that people follow their passions. So if you like working with people, you know, a career in nursing can be very rewarding. You can actually be a part of a team. You can work in a great environment. And a really great way into that is through an associate's degree. But I really wanted to also make the point that you don't have to pick stream A or stream B. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to follow this vocational certification, associate's degree, apprenticeship path, or I'm going to follow a traditional college path. If you look to Switzerland, and before you mentioned some of the European countries, you know, Germany and Switzerland, in Germany, apprenticeships actually fill before university places. They're actually highly sought after. And I actually did some research recently in Switzerland and went and had a look at the people who are actually graduating out of the Swiss universities with PhDs. And I was absolutely astounded to find out that nearly 60% of these graduates had actually started off in the apprenticeship track. So that's a really interesting statistic there.
That is very interesting.
So in Switzerland, people move between this idea of vocational, earn while you learn, and developing these certifications and skills, and then they move into a more academic track.
You know, a lot of individuals are pursuing careers in the arts. And one example in your book, which I'd like you to tell us a little bit about, tell us that story, explained that he was very good at acting, but he was not very good at the business of acting, so he chose a different path. Tell us about that.
Fantastic guy by the name of Doug Gorenstein. He's a real inspiration, and there's stories like Doug's right throughout the book, so I hope that people can either relate to individuals or relate to a company. There's a story about a mechanic who went on and works in NASCAR, and he really is following his passion, but this common theme of follow your passion, follow your dream, and make it happen is something that you'll see in a lot of stories. So in the case of Doug, he now runs a fantastic headshot studio based in New York City, but he's taking photos of celebrities all around the world. And, you know, I've been down to his studio several times, and not only does he take a great headshot, he's got a really great way with the camera. He's got a great rapport with people. He works on The Apprentice Show with Donald Trump. He works on The Tonight Show. He's got a lot of great contacts, and it's a fantastic industry. So he's entrepreneurial, he's got his own business running, he's mixing with a really interesting group of people. But most importantly, Doug is absolutely passionate about what he does.
Yeah, but the story really goes a little bit deeper, because he was actually an actor, and he was studying to be an actor. He got accepted into the Actor's Studio. He befriended Ellen Burstyn, who was Academy Award winner, and he realized that, you know, the business of acting wasn't for him. And he kind of noticed, he didn't really have any interest in photography, but he noticed there were photographers around an awful lot. And he said, you know, I can do that. And then he took some vocational training himself, right?
Look, absolutely. And I think that he sort of combined the idea of something that he felt that he could do. And he looked around for the types of opportunities to gain the skills that he needed. And, you know, Doug's a guy who's had some great world experience. And I think that all the work that he's done in the past and the work that he's done in acting and varying other industries really sets him now to be this well-rounded person. He's got the certification. He's got the skills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a really interesting guy.
Yeah. Now, let's get to apprenticeships, because I don't really see, you know, in kind of an obvious way, where a person would actually go to find out more about apprenticeships, especially in the United States. I suppose in Switzerland it's fine, but not here in the U.S. So how does one approach that?
Well, there's a really huge movement and shift in the way that the United States, from the government perspective, but also from businesses, are really viewing apprenticeships. Traditionally, when you say apprenticeship in the U.S., people start to think about, well, they either think of Donald Trump and the television show The Apprentice, or they start talking to me about building and construction industries. But the reality is there are so many different occupations which can be apprenticed. And if we look to the UK, you mentioned earlier some countries are going through, you know, rapid growth. In 2010, there was 400,000 apprentices. There's now 850,000 apprentices in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
These are spread across an absolutely broad range of industries. So, you know, an apprenticeship is something that I think we're going to see a lot more from. The president regularly gives a call out to apprenticeships, and the government has actually invested some significant funds. I was actually just talking to a colleague of mine who runs a fantastic program called Apprenticeships Carolina, and the engagement of employers in that program and the growth of that program is phenomenal. And I'm really starting to see a state-by-state movement of partnerships where you're getting employers, you're getting local schools together, and you're getting people who are joining these programs, and really the opportunities are limitless.
This is great news. This is also great information. Unfortunately, we are out of time. My guest is Nicholas Wyman. The book is Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. It's not out for publication yet. It will be in January. However, you can pre-order it. And if you do, you'll get an advanced chapter and also resources for career advice and where to go for things that you've heard about today. Nicholas, it's a great interview. Thank you so much for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on the program.